We have covered grace, truth, and time, relationship connections, boundaries, and today we are processing pain, the problem of good and bad. And in this session, Dr. Henry walks us through the unrealistic standards that we put on ourselves and that we put on others, and teaches us how we can sort out the good and the bad. So at this time, we're going to listen to Dr. Henry. Amen. Another good teaching by Dr. Henry. You can find my PowerPoint outline on our website if you haven't downloaded it yet. It is available there. And for our members, we send it out via email. So if you would like to receive the outline each week, just put your email in the comments and we'll make sure that you get added to our list for next week. And so thanks for joining us today once again. And we're going to get into breaking down some of this teaching. Dr. Henry asked these questions. He asked, which of these do you consider yourself to be more of, an idealist or are you a realist? And are you more likely to deny the existence of bad or do you deny the existence of good? We often see these people as optimistic or pessimistic. You've probably heard the saying, they see the cup half full, and others see the cup, plenty in the cup when it's half full. And so it's all in your own perspective. Which are you? Are you an idealist or are you a realist? What I discovered in my own life, and I often share when I am in counseling sessions with others, is the place that you are right now, mentally and emotionally, will be one of the most difficult places to face. Facing reality means then that we are responsible to do something about our situation. So many people look for ways to escape the reality of where they're at. And one way many Christians do this is to over-spiritualize their situation. They'll say, the devil's after me. The devil is just working so hard on me. Well, he might be after you, but the word says in James that we are to submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So he will flee. He will go away. So every problem and difficulty in our lives is not the devil working against us. Many times we are our own worst enemy. We are harder and more critical on ourselves. And that causes a false guilt to come into our life. And if we had time, we would go in to the symptoms of false guilt and what the scripture says about it. But the reality is the characteristics of carrying around a false guilt resemble the same symptoms as depression. So if you're constantly feeling guilty, I encourage you to make a counseling session and work through that with someone. So let's go on. Jesus said this in regard to reality in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus said, let's face reality. The peace that you find is going to be in me. Because in this world, you are not going to find peace. You're going to find tribulation. And that word tribulation means pressure, afflicted or affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution, and trouble. That's what's in this world. And that's what we will experience. But the Lord said to be of good cheer because he has overcome. overcome it. And when we come into Jesus Christ and we find that safe space in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find the peace that we need to make it through every struggle, every trial, every temptation that we face. How a person handles tribulation is often taught or modeled in their family of origin. So just think a moment, what did you learn about failure and forgiveness in your family of origin? Many of these patterns are established as we grow up as a child, and they're established by the environment around us, how people respond to us when we fail or we need forgiveness, or how you see them respond to others. Dr. Henry talked about everything is affected by missing the mark. And so let's look at that a little bit deeper. In Romans 3:23, the scripture says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the Greek word for sin comes from the root word G264, which means to miss the mark, to err, to sin, for your faults, offend, and trespass. And so when we miss the mark, we fail to bring glory to the Lord. And we sense that. All have sinned. All of us need forgiveness. When we come into this world, we're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And the only way to be forgiven of our sins is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us and release us from the curse of sin that we're born with. And so it is so important that we have that great salvation that Jesus offered to us upon the cross. So let's go on. I wanted to share just a little bit about forbearance. In my years of counseling and spiritually mentoring others, I have found that this teaching has been neglected. It is the key to having healthy relationships, and it serves as a building block in their structure. So let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. And Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering," and this is what I want you to catch, "forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." The only way we are going to come into the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is if we are willing to forbear with one another in love. A very important aspect of our Christian life. Dr. Henry talks a lot about finding this safe space. Well, if the people of God do not understand how to forbear with one another, if they're not willing to forbear with one another, we will not have safe places to heal and to be restored and to mature and to grow in Jesus Christ. Forbearance means to bear with, are to endure, are to put up with, are to suffer. And when I read those things, I often think about, you know, siblings and growing up in families. Don't we learn how to endure and to put up with each other? Siblings are so different, and there can be so much conflict among children, but we have to learn how to bear with one another, to endure, to put up with, and sometimes we're really suffering in the midst of that. So let's look at how God demonstrates forbearance with us. He suspends his anger toward our sins. And he withholds the punishment that we deserve. And he passes over our failures in order to allow us freedom to respond in relationship to him. So he forbears with us. He suspends his anger towards us. He forgives us of our sins. And he puts up with all of our mess as we are growing up in Christ, as we are becoming mature Christians. God forbears with us. God does not allow our sins to create a permanent barrier between us and himself. Think about it. All the times that you have done, made decisions and done things that you know are contrary to what God would want you to do, he has put up with you. He has come back to forgive you. He's overlooked many of your failures to help you out of your mess. I can testify of that in my own life. And I thank God that he forbears with me. I thank God that he puts up with me, that he hasn't given up on me. And there's someone listening this morning that needs to hear God has not given up on you. God is overlooking your failures and extending his love to you because he wants you to come into his kingdom, into his family, and to be joined with him. You see, he'll forgive us of our sins, and we are free to have a relationship with him. The Bible instructs believers to develop this same quality like that God has. To bear with and accept negative circumstances, to accept the good and accept the bad and the failures of others. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And then he gives this instruction. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Dr. Henry talked about the judging gap. When we don't measure up to the law, when we don't measure up to the goals, or someone else doesn't measure up, there is this gap, and we have to deal with it. And like he said, it is just a natural tendency for us to begin to judge in that gap. We judge ourselves, and we feel bad, we feel ashamed, and then we start comparing ourselves to other people, and the scripture says that's an unwise thing to do. We judge people in relationships when they don't treat us the way they think they should. And when we think about the greatest commandment that Jesus said was the greatest commandment, he said it was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the goal. And when we do not treat other people the way they should be treated, or when we're not treated the way that God would want us treated, then we're missing the mark. We're not loving the way God intended us to love. God intended us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I would like to think I do that every day, but I'm sure I fall short of the mark. I miss the mark. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep loving God. I'm going to keep loving people and ask God to help me in this gap here when I don't reach the expectation or people around me do not reach it, that I do not judge them and become critical and negative of them, but that I choose to love them, forgive them, him and take my complaint to the Lord and not take my complaint to everybody else, or put it out there on Facebook, or call your best friend and start talking about someone because you feel that you were mistreated. We're growing in Christ, and we're learning how to handle these things, and that's what this is all about, forbearing with one another. We all have this desire to control people, to take control of situations. That's a struggle for us. Think about children. They want to control the group. They want to control the toys. Leonard and I always say the first group we pastored were the 2 and 3 year olds. They were the busy bees, and they would fight over toys. They would have knockdown dragouts, and they would yell, "Mine, mine," you know, and have this tug of war. Well, you know, people, even as adults, can still be acting that way. It's just we're tugging and pulling on something that we feel is ours, when maybe it's something that we are supposed to be sharing. How wonderful it would be if the world would learn to share. Amen? Amen. So we need to learn how to respond with forbearance. It allows us to be free from seeking to control and change other people. I'm sure we've all experienced that, when people try to change us to be the way they want us to be. And you know, we always need to be open and listen, but at the same time, no one has control over someone else. People are free to make a choice. And so allow people to choose. And even in the midst of that, someone's listening today that has family members that are making poor choices. They are free to make those choices. And you are free to pray for them and pray that God intervenes on their behalf. But you know, sometimes we just have to walk through a mess to realize that we're in a mess. And God forbears with us, and he will reach down into that situation and help them out. So trust God. Forbearance helps us to accept the things we cannot change. We have to know what they are, and it prevents the emotional turmoil that otherwise would have resulted. We cannot change those things. We've got to let go of them. If we demonstrate forbearance, we'll be patient with the weaknesses of other people. We will not become bitter towards them, and we will be able to continue to develop our relationship with them. And that's what this is all about, learning how to have a deeper relationship. So not only does it prevent bitterness against other people, but also it does not allow us to become bitter against God for allowing negative circumstances to occur in our lives. And so trusting the Lord with our daily relationships and asking him to develop those fruits of the Spirit within our life, that we will be able to be patient and loving and caring and forbear with one another. And so then we're going to be putting up with one another. Let's take a look at God's forbearance in another passage in Romans 2:3-4. It says, "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" And I like the way the Message puts it, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, Did you that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, and he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. And so God will forbear with us, but you know that he is going to intervene and he is going to get to us. If you've ever been convicted by the Holy Spirit, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts you, it leads you to true repentance, and there's fruit of that repentance. In other words, people can tell that your life has been changed, that you are different, that you've made a turnaround and you're going in another direction, and thank God for it. We thank God for it. Hallelujah. So Dr. Henry asked a question, and he said, according to Romans 12:9, how are we to process both the good and the bad in the world? And we're going to read that scripture. And this is from the Passion Translation. It says, let the inner movement of your hearts always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. That's a great thing to try and outdo, is to see how well we can respect and honor one another. We see that missing in our culture today. The way people address authority and speak to authority is not honoring to the Lord. And if they will disrespect authority to the level that they do, you know within their heart they disrespect God. And we're going to go on. Freedom from condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's read this passage, Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation if we are in Christ Jesus. Yet we tend to continue to condemn. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you when you begin to condemn yourself or condemn others or condemn situations. Ask the Holy Spirit to quicken you so that you know that you are doing that. Because there is no condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. Because we are walking according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. And the Spirit is life and life more abundantly. We are to live by that law, the law of the Spirit, because God has set us free from the law of sin and death. Dr. Henry pointed out that what would it be like if every couple stopped judging each other? This causes so many marriage arguments and conflict, and just conflict within families and relationships and in the workplace when we start judging each other. What if everyone just stopped doing that and was willing to open up and face the hurt and pain? Normally, we're judging, condemning, being critical, because within our own heart, there's hurt and pain. So rather than dealing with our own hurt and pain, we project that out and judge someone else. But you see, God wants to do a deep work on the inside of us, and so we have to be willing to open up and face the hurts. So basically, we're to stop judging ourselves and condemning ourselves. And like Henry said, find that safe space in your head. And the way I've done that, I've walked through many of of the things that I teach that I help people walk through is you have to train your mind. And you need the Holy Spirit to alert you in the spirit of your mind when you start to do that. And when you start to do that, the way you strengthen yourself is to refuse to think about that and choose to think about something else. And so it is a constant work that is going on. The scripture says to gird up the loins of your mind with truth. To gird something up means to wrap it about. So we need the truth of the Word of God and the truth of what God says about us and the truth of how God forbears and helps people through all their failures, all their faults, all of the trouble and struggles and trials and tribulation. God wants us to gird up the loins of our mind with truth so that we are not judging and trying to control other people, but allowing God to take care of our soul, heal our soul, set us free from the condemnation. Dr. Henry gives 3 steps to process pain. And in our studies, we'll go through that deeper in our small groups. But he said, 1, find a place of safety and acceptance. We need to find that safe place that is without judgment or people shaming and condemning us. And 2, we need to begin to open up and look inside. Don't ignore the reality of where you are, but Lord, show me where I really am so that I can change. And 3, only then can the standard of the law become the guide. 4, or the standard of our goals. They don't judge us, but there's something that we reach for. And when Dr. Henry was talking about reaching for those goals, I thought of the Apostle Paul. He said, I reach for the mark. He was reaching for the goal. He said he hadn't obtained it yet, but he was pressing. He was reaching for that. There was no condemnation because he had not reached the goal. That's what we need to remember. Not to judge ourselves and condemn ourselves as we are moving forward. Even if we fail, we're going to learn from that failure. And we're going to get up. A righteous man gets back up 7 times and he keeps going again. And God does not hold that against us. It's people that hold failures and mistakes against you. Jesus said all the law of the prophets hinged on 2 things, and that's to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And even though we fall short of that mark, God will help us 1 day at a time, 1 situation at a time, to be able to reach for that goal. Lord, that's what I want. I want to love you and I want to love people. Because in the midst of being surrounded with love, we are surrounded with the presence of God because God is love. And so he surrounds us with his presence. When we can allow the love of God to flow through us, the scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love, the love that God extended to all the world, God wants us to extend that same love, and especially in the family of God, especially to that family that God has assigned you to, our natural family and our spiritual family. So just a couple more things and we're going to close. But forgiveness is the key. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So forgiving those who have trespassed into our life Even if they haven't asked you for forgiveness, you can make a choice to forgive them. That releases that emotional tie, that judgment that you're holding to another person. You're not going to be free from the control of an abuser until you can forgive and release them. I'll often tell people in counseling, that person has way too much control over your mind and your decisions, and they're not even in your life anymore. We've got to forgive those who have trespassed. Remember when we talked about boundaries, we talked about trespassing, people coming into our space, people coming in and messing things up. And some very serious situations have happened with abusers. And it's a process of forgiving and releasing and being set free from the emotional, mental control of an abuser. But God will do that for you. Dr. Henry said, we are both good and bad. The people around us are good and bad. And one of our tasks is to accept and love each other in spite of our failures and gently correct each other toward a goal of love. We do this through confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Our final scripture in closing this morning is from Colossians 3:12-13. We're going to read that one more time. It talks about forbearing and forgiving. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you for this teaching this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that the word of the Lord will penetrate deep within our heart and soul and will continue to teach us. Thank you, Lord, that as we read your word today, there was a cleansing and a washing of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have washed away and healed many who are listening from condemnation and from guilt. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are healing our souls, Lord, that you are healing our minds, Father God, that you will set a watch, Lord God, about our minds, that we will be aware when we are judging and condemning others and when we are judging and condemning ourselves. Father, help us, Lord, to keep our mind on you, to walk in the law of the Spirit of life. And we thank you, Lord, that you have set us free from the law of sin and death. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen, amen.